Welcome to Phantom Podcast Network. This is Legal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of 1980s action cinema. Celebrating the heroes of yesterday, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Van Damme, all the way down to, of course, the B-grade action films that we all enjoyed on VHS, and of course, Betamax, with the loves of American Ninja, all the way through to Cyborg Cop and beyond. Here at Phantom Podcast Network's Legal Mullet Podcast, join Adam O'Brien as we celebrate action movie cinema. G'day folks, how you going? This is the Legal Mullet Podcast live on the one, the only Phantom Podcast Network, your place where all Phantoms combine to have fun. That's right. Coming to you live from Quinlan's Cantina on the Gold Coast of Australia. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, and tonight we're running solo as we chat about one of those real lover-to-hater films. It's the one, the only, Hudson Hawk, a film which Bruce Willis did in the early 90s, and it was kind of his attempt to do something outside of his action mold. He'd been doing such big action films and comedies and dramas. He was a versatile actor, but I think was best known for his breakout role in Moonlighting, and of course, John McClane in Die Hard. So we're going to be looking at a little bit of that today, and also look at what made this film a bit of an odd duck, but also one that I really enjoyed, all here on Legal Mullet Podcast. Hey man, is that the phone? Who is it? Oh, that's right. It's time to tell you how to catch this show and more on FPN. Here's how you can catch this show and more on the web. You can catch us on, of course, Apple, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and Spotify, where you can subscribe to Phantom Podcast, Library of Shows, and, of course, Legal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of 1980s action films. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter on at The Legal Mullet. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let people know what you thought of the show and just what you get out of it. Also, you can find the t-shirts for FPN, Phantom Podcast Network, at TeePublic. Please also listen to all our other great podcasts on the FPN master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find Blood of Kings, Highlander Podcast, Culture Clash, Couch Potato Theatre, Time Warp, The End Zone, Good Evening, The Union Federation, and of course, the Hair Metal Podcast. And of course, Legal Mullet. And brand new show, of course, and it's all Star Wars. And of course, it's What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. Go and check them out on the web. Hey guys, welcome back to Legal Mullet Podcast. Before we get into the show, we're going to chat to somebody from a place called Barmany. No, it's not a fantasy place. This is a real place where you'll find Dan Hudman of Type 40, Doctor Who podcast. And of course, you'll also find this chap, the one, the only, Martin Wood. Martin, how are you?
Oh, great there, mate. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great, buddy. I tell you what, we're going to have some fun tonight, but we're doing a bit of a show on Hudson Hawk. You remember that one?
Oh, goddamn yes, mate. I went to the cinema to see this. I am that guy who paid cash, hard cash to hard go cash watch it, and I love this film to this day.
Would you like to swing on a star?
A star.
Carry moonbeams off in the jar.
You could be better off than you are.
Or you might be a fish.
Or would you rather be a podcaster?
Now, what was Bruce Willis thinking?
I remember at the time, the interviews and everything, he always said it was the closest that he'd come to playing the Moonlighting character again, but on the big screen.
It really is, isn't it?
He wanted to introduce the humour in with it again. It's fantastic.
It's great because I think the other thing that he brought to it was the fact that, you know, he's musical as well because he's got the Bruno Band.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did buy respect in there, a lot of stuff like that.
I mean, I don't know if he's exactly a talented singer, songwriter, musician.
He's a blues bar rock and roller.
He really is. He's that guy that if he didn't make it as an actor, he would have been in the corner of the pub with a you know, acoustic guitar going, yeah, working class man!
Am I remembering correctly? Did him and John Goodman actually work together as bartenders, and both of them were like musical sort of singer-performer types as well?
Oh, I tell you what, well, he became a blues brother too, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I did watch that film and it was awful.
Yeah, look, you can't do it without Belushi, man. He brings the B in blues.
Yeah, it was painful. I was just like, I watched it on World Cinema Day and I think I paid sort of 50p or something like that for a ticket to go watch it. Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's great. And, look, Danny Aiello in this is great too.
How did you survive that? Crash bags. Yeah, must be. Yeah, it's a fantastic role.
It really is. And the fact that they play off each other really well.
Yeah. And constant poison coffee. I mean, how can you go wrong with poisonous foam?
Oh, yeah. And you notice he never gets to actually have the coffee.
No, all the way through, every time he gets to it, that's it, so it screws him over.
It really is.
Andy McDowell as well, coming. Was that around the time, sort of Four Weddings or something like that as well,
through? Because I think it would have been, actually, it might even be pre-Four Weddings, because she was sort of just coming out of TV, I think, at the time, and, then she took off. I mean, she's brilliant in this. She really does it well.
Yeah, fantastic. James Coburn as well. I mean, Jesus, the cast in it is fantastic. Richard E. Grant, Sandra Bullock, Ball Bunny Ball.
Ball Ball. And you notice, what's his name's in there? The guy in it that... Hey, coach, I think they're going to Democrat. Hey, coach.
Butterfinger. Yeah. I was thinking Kit Kat. He was the guy, the redhead guy. That's it.
Yeah, NYPD.
I don't know if it's him or just someone who looks like him. I haven't watched the film for a bit, but yeah, remember all of that.
And he was the guy in Long. What was it? Not Long Kiss Goodnight. That's a different movie. That's Samuel Jackson and Gina Davis. But there's a movie he did,
which is a great film as well.
Where it was an action movie that was
8mm by any chance?
Which one?
Snake Eyes. 8mm or Snake Eyes? I've got a feeling it might be one of those.
Snake Eyes is that one where it's like kind of like a set in a, is it an ice rink or something like that? Where it's like
Eight millimeters, the snuff film thing, the weird one.
Yeah, no, the one I'm thinking of is where Nick Cage is the bad guy. He's sort of like I have to think about this one because it's a good bloody film. He's kind of like the bad guy running a chop shop. And it's like a gangster thing where
it's not Gone in 60 Seconds with the old Dr. Ruth.
It's a little bit older. No. It was about 95, I think, this one. But anyway, it's a good movie. And Caruso was kind of about to take off. You know, he's going to do all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, what an actor. He was really good in that Proof of Life with Russell Crowe and Meg Ryan.
Actually, that's one that I haven't seen. I'm aware of it because, unfortunately, I'm too aware of most films.
You're kidding.
Never watched it.
You're kidding. That's right, folks. He got the triple barrel. That's right, the hat trick of, you're kidding. That's right. There you go, folks. Now the other thing is, this film does well is it kind of has this playful edge, but then you've got the Mario brothers, Caesar and Anthony. And, of course, one of them is Frank Stallone.
Yeah. He's a fantastic musician, really. Excellent.
And can I give a bit of a shout-out to Frank? Because he always responds on Instagram to all the fans and goings-on. But he's actually created one of the greatest-looking guitars out there. Now, it's named after him, Frank Stallone Guitars. And it's kind of like a Paul Reed Smith. It's a beautiful-looking guitar. Ooh.
Nice one, mate. I was watching a YouTube vid with him not long back where Sly had bought him a guitar, wasn't it, at the Guitar Centre, and just left it there for him. Just fantastic.
Oh, it really is. Just they're all great guy. Music.
And also, she's so popular, it's just a tune that I love anyway.
It's great. I mean, the fact that he can play, anything from lounge to rock and roll to power ballads like he did in those movies.
Yeah, and then he can step forward and be a gangster or whatever you want from him. Was he one of the singers around the fire in Rocky as well?
I think he was, and he's also, he's very active in fitness too. Well, let's just put it out there, Frank is always doing boxing, gym and stuff like that. For a guy his age, he looks amazing. He looks 20 years younger than he is, he really does. But the great thing Frank does is he does a lot of great, cameo roles and stuff like that, but also some great character roles. Remember him in Tombstone when, of course, Doc Holliday has a thing at the start. He goes, he thinks that Doc's robbed him, and so he has a knife fight with Doc Holliday.
Oh, mate, you've just... Oh, Christ almighty, I forgot about that completely.
You know, it's
completely great. Forgot about and Tombstone's Ace anyway.
it's such a great little. I mean, it's a memorable role for a small role. But Frank's always been, had that ability to have great roles. And this one, playing with the Mario Brothers, it's great because he gets to play off Bruce. He obviously has a good time with Bruce.
Oh yeah, you can tell that's a group of guys. You figure though, Bruce kind of almost cast this really with just bringing a lot of friends and people that he liked and admired into it.
Oh, I
thought he'd made that big step forward. He'd actually sort of got his way into films. And at that point, what was the Sunset that he'd done that was like, you know, so-so anyway, and ho-hum received. He'd done Blind Date and then done Die Hard, and Die Hard sort of cracked the market for him and thinks that he's going to be the big step, and it just wasn't in the end. And it's a shame because I love the film. It is bringing as close as he could moonlighting to the cinema.
I mean, this could have been a franchise. It really could have. I mean, it's a film that you love or hate, you know. I mean, Kevin famously says, "Hey, man, this film sucks, man." Okay, I'm like, yeah, okay, like, I get it. And Kyle's very, very and ah. He goes, "Yeah, well, you know, and that's his reaction, of course.
I'm with you, though. I think it's cast and wrote to have been a franchise film. You look at all the different characters in there, all the big actors that he brought into it, and it is, it's wrote that there should be more of them, and you can divide it off and do loads of different stories and everything from it, but it just didn't hit.
No, that's right. And let's face it, folks, if Arnold had taken Commando and made a franchise out of it, you wouldn't have a Bruce Willis today, because you realise Die Hard 2 was Commando 2. That's what it was originally set to be.
Very, very. The whole thing's Val Verde as well, keep popping up.
Yeah, now, have you heard about what happened? So, the original script for Commando 2, Chaney went to basically Nakatomi Plaza with, I think she must have been with school friends or something like that. And then all of a sudden, yeah, the same thing happens. Terrorists come, and then Arnold gets the call. And he goes, "That's it. I gotta find General Franklin Derby. Come on. Where's Chaney? Chaney, where is the..." And then,
I quite literally will be back.
Yeah. And so, in the movie, fast forward 20 minutes, and all of a sudden, Matrix is there, and he's loaded up to the hilt, and he uses those four-barrel rocket launchers again. Chaney, and Chaney comes flying out the window, and he just catches you. "Hello, Chaney, get back to the kitchen. Cook me some bacon and eggs. Let's do it. Come on. It's time for more." Where's Chaney? "Chaney, make milkshakes now. Do it. That's right." I mean, that's the thing, because Arnold can't cook. I mean, let's face it, he can't. He goes, have you seen him try and cook in that movie? What was it? He did that one where he's chasing God. What was that? End of Days.
Yeah, Christ, yes.
Did you see what he put in the blender? He put a shoe in there, a pizza, a can of Coke, a bourbon. He's got, yes, breakfast of champions. No.
Unfortunately, you mentioned Arnold and eating it. He just takes me back to his... was it when Jesse Ventura came in and found him cheating, eating out some girl, and he just looks up and goes, "Eating is not cheating."
Well, you got Pumping Iron, where he even says, you know, "Look at him, he's drinking milk. When you grow up and be an adult, you drink beer."
But are you some kind of pussy, man? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things. But Bruce got, obviously, a career out of this. A great career. I mean, he's done fantastic. Not so much in recent years.
No. You know, the Death Wish remake. Oh, what the hell are you thinking?
More like
I enjoyed Last Man Standing. I enjoyed Lucky Number 11. Those were probably the last films of his that I really remember. Yeah, I like both of those.
And I think Looper was quite good.
I like Looper. I hate the fact it sets out all its rules, then completely breaks them straight away.
I gotta say, what I did like was Jeff Daniels as the guy from the future.
Yeah. There's a lot. There are a lot. I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt with the mouthpiece, sort of, to make him look more like Bruce. You know, it worked well.
He's a great actor.
Lots of bits that I did like.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's always been, I think, pretty damn good. I liked him in Night Rises. Isn't my favourite Batman film, but he was very good in
that. No, it's no one's.
Yeah, there's parts of it that are good. I honestly think what they should have done from day one is just literally bring back Liam Neeson. He cheated death somehow. He's still alive. And Ducard at Ra's al Ghul.
Give him bloody Lazarus Pit. Easy.
Yeah, well, the thing
you've actually done the whole thing. Ra's al Ghul, give him a fucking Lazarus Pit.
Did you hear what was actually going to happen? So check this out.
No.
This is years after, obviously. They've had, what is that? Dark Knight Rises is out, right? That's been out for a couple of years. And then the Arrow universe, we're actually going to introduce more Batman. So they actually went out to Liam. They said, look, we know that you enjoyed working on the Night trilogy. Would you like to play Ra's again? And it was going to bridge the gap. But
that would have been great.
And get this, they got very close to doing it. Even Liam was keen to come back as Ducard, right? And the whole idea was that they were going to set it in such a way that he's building up the universe, building up the League of Shadows. They called it the League of Assassins in that one.
I remember.
Anyway, cut a long story short, they didn't do it. They couldn't make the money. They couldn't make the demand.
Let me guess, they couldn't do the multiple cuts to, like, get him up the stairs. Hold on, we need 37 cuts to get you up these stairs and over that white fence. Here you go.
And do you know who they got? They got an Aussie bloody footballer.
Is that what? No, I didn't know who the actor was. I never known who the actor was.
So the guy that they got was pretty good. But what he is he's an ex-rugby footballer. And he was in the Riddick film. The recent one.
Yeah.
He played the old man, Johns. He was basically Johns' father.
Okay. Cool stuff.
Cool stuff. But anyway, getting back to Hudson Hawk, I think it's got, a bit of a three-act play there. Builds up the idea that this guy's a cat burglar, a fantastic guy, great mates, and then he's got all these CIA guys.
He throws in everything that he likes.
Pretty much.
Throws in everything that Bruce likes with the music and things like that as well. He gives him comedy, action, music. He wants to be, the triple threat. He wants to throw everything in there.
He really does. And, I mean, the thing is, too, you get some great scenery. We get Italy. We get that little intro where he goes, once upon a time in Italy, there was a little guy called Leonardo da Vinci. And that guy on the horse was just a guy on a horse.
It's wonderful stuff. I mean, he breaks into the Vatican. One of the films you see when they break into the Vatican. It's great. And the Vatican then, the Vatican as a whole sort of MI5, sort of, underground, complete, super secret service. It's wonderful.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And what I love about it too is that they've got kind of, even all the priests are in on it.
Yeah. And the fact Andy McDowell then suddenly is a nun. It's, good God, you set up the romantic interest and she's a nun.
Yeah, and they sort of carved that off. But what I loved about it too is all of the guys that are built into this are really work. So one of the guys with that little zap, that little electrocution device or whatever it is, that's like one of the CIAs.
I think it's Kit Kat, wasn't it, again? Yeah.
No, that's not Kit Kat. It's a different guy. But this guy, get this, was from Die Hard 2 with Bruce.
Ooh.
He played one of the guys that he dispatches in the snow.
I was going to say, I'm just trying to put together... Hold on, I'm thinking everybody in it.
Oh, it's pretty
that's fantastic. What I always liked, though, was the fact you got meat from Porky's in it as one of the bad guys in Die Hard 2.
Yeah, and Die Hard 2 also had the T-1000 and John Leguizamo.
Yes, indeed.
John Leguizamo from Spawn.
One of his really, really early sort of appearances.
It really is. It's brilliant. I mean, that's not a bad film. A lot of people give that movie crap, but, I mean, it really broadened the way it went, It's just one of those movies.
I've seen people slating it, and I don't get it, because I still love that. I put it on, and that's it. Fantastic enjoyment all the way.
Get the Anakin Skywalker. Go get the Anakin Skywalker. Do it now, man. Anakin Skywalker. Do the Skywalker, man.
Which didn't just count. You know a shortcut.
Oh, hang on. Hey, folks. I've got somebody at the door here. Just give me 2 seconds. I'll let him in. Oh, my God. He's got a twin. Hello there. It's Martin Wood. Hello, Martin.
Hello, Woody. How are you doing?
Woody, if you could, eh?
Oh, he would. Woody would if he could, but he can't, so he doesn't. But he would.
Woody would woodpecker. eh? There you go, folks, some cheap humour for you. But I do like the fact that they play with Leonardo da Vinci's Schwarzer, you know, which is the idea that all these horses had been made as statues, and inside the statues was little bits of these lenses and crystals that would eventually build the way to make bronze. They were originally...
And so then to smash them and bring them out, yeah?
That's right, but it actually made gold. Gold.
Gold! I love gold!
Yeah. Gold is good. It brings your muscles through.
I love simple things like the inventions, the glider, the helicopter style stuff, all that, just bringing those Da Vinci inventions like to life.
Oh, how good is it?
Wonderful things.
And the fact that in art college years ago, as a graphic designer on the way up, you know, there was this big art book. It was about 700 pages, massive A2 book. Yeah. So, you know, it was like the size of architecture plans. And it was Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, you knock someone out with a book like that.
Oh, mate, it would make a good frisbee, but you need five people to throw it. It's so heavy. But my art teacher, she came up and her name is Julie. She goes, "Hey, Adam, mate, hey, you ever seen Leonardo da Vinci?" I said, "Mate, you got a time travel device? Well, I'll do it for you." Anyway, she said, "Well, listen here, smart ass. Here's the book. Have a bit of a look through." And anyway, I was carting this thing home. She said, "You can have it home for the weekend and bring it back on Monday." And I put it on the bus, and I'm flipping through, and it was all the different designs, not only this, but in things like, other architectural sort of things that come from his design work, even his fine arts, all the little things that, you know, somebody back in the, whatever it was, the 14, 1500s could come up with is there. It's all in there. The helicopter, for crying out loud. The Batman's wings.
Well, you got, so Da Vinci time, you're talking where they combine basically art, science, medical, everything was combined as they were one thing. Yeah. So everything that he drew would be to do with medicine, to do with science, to do with art. Yeah, no wonder they came Renaissance man and everything. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant. Now, here's the funny thing, folks. Just imagine if they were going to do a real, and I'm talking a real Leonardo da Vinci film. It would be directed by Ridley Scott. Yeah. And just listen to this quick trailer, folks. This is what it sounds like.
"And now, all the way in Rome, there was once a designer, a man of absolute genius, somebody who wouldn't take any crap, and then he died, but he returned." That's right, Russell Crowe is the Da Vinci.
See, I'd still be going, Leonardo DiCaprio is Leonardo Da Vinci.
Doesn't have enough whiskers on his beard, mate.
Oh, come on, mate. No, Django Unchained, he's almost got a beard there.
There you go. Paul Hogan is Da Vinci. Hey, mate, how you going? Hey, buddy, let's go and have some bolognese, eh? Hey, mate. Hey, mate, how you going? Can you imagine that?
I'm just going to have the two finger thumb out. Hold on, he's going to take it down.
I have no idea what you can do with Paul Hogan in that damn movie. There you go. I've said it. It's done. That's it. Let's go back on it.
He's still sponsored by Foster. Come on.
Michael Caine is Da Vinci. Hello. How you doing?
You're only supposed to put the bloody wings on it. Here. You bastard.
That's it. We're packing up. We're going and have ourselves a pint.
Of course, Sean Connery's come out of retirement for this role.
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Leonardo da Vinci.
He will only do the new movie is 10 minutes long, so I can go to St. Andrews in the Concorde and play 18 holes.
Said, "Sean, did you get a hole in one?" "I certainly did." She was quite happy.
That's what she said. So, all right, getting back to the movie, how would you rate it on your finger scale out of 5?
Oh, finger scale out of 5, you sod. For me, it's I'll give it 3.5.
3.5.
It goes in. It's definitely it's in the fun side. It's not one of your best films ever, but it's so much damn fun, and it's got so many ideas in it. It's not a 4. It's not a 5. It's better than a 3. It's got to be about a 3.5 for me.
Nice. And how can the folks at home catch a hold of you?
Mate, they keep listening. for you. I'll pop up sometime. It's always guaranteed. You know, we'll be badgering Dan Hadley on Facebook or the Blast Facebook sites. Yeah, but normally, if they're listening to you, they'll find me somewhere.
They certainly will. And folks, definitely check out Facebook, because soon you're going to see a lot more of Woody on there in the video as well.
What? Hey, this sounds good to me.
Big thanks to Martin Wood, of course, for coming on the show and chatting about Hudson Hawk. It's a film that definitely gets a 3.5 out of 5 on my finger scale as well. Of course, the finger scale is well known for another Bruce Willis movie, which I'll be covering very, very soon here on the show with Kevin. And that is, of course, The Last Boy Scout, which is directed and by Tony Scott, written by, of course, Shane Black, who, of course, is well known for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, the recent The Predator, and, of course, he's well known for the original Predator film, where he played Hawkins in it. So, got to check those out. So, hope you enjoyed the show. We'll catch you next week, where we're going to be looking at more 80s action films, and, of course, amazing stuff. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking also at The Perfect Weapon, the Jeff Speakman action extravaganza, all here on the show. But before we leave you, we're going to leave you a little promo, and, of course, Kevin just stars in that one as well. So, take it away, Raider Nerd!
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast. For you movie fans, we have Couch Potato Theater, where we celebrate our favorite cult classic and guilty pleasure movies. We also have Time Warp. That's our fandom flashback show, where we like to look back on our favorite fandoms. For you NFL fans, we have the End Zone podcast. And of course, for you Alfred Hitchcock fans, please check out Good Evening. For you Star Trek and Orville fans, we also have the Union Federation podcast. And for you hard rock metal fans, we have Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Doctor Who fans, we've got one for you as well. We have Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. If you're a fan of 1980s action films, please check out Lethal Mullet. And our newest show, we have a Star Wars podcast called What a Piece of Junk. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Please search on Facebook for Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.